morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. The purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. One of the great evidences of the Bible is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrated it on Sunday, Easter Sunday. But Jesus made many appearances, both on that first day and then throughout 40 days, to prove to people that he was indeed the same Jesus, that he had physically risen from the dead. And so I'm taking this week following Easter Sunday to talk about the convincing evidences of Jesus' resurrection and the many appearances he made. So I think that we're ready to get to John chapter 20 this morning. And I think that now that we've studied Mark and Luke's accounts of the resurrection, we'll be able to make sense of how John, yes, tells the story quite differently, but not in a way that contradicts Mark and Luke, but rather in a way that shows another independent eyewitness account of the resurrection that shows how strong the historical evidence is for this event. Now, before I jump into the text, I want to remind you that this Friday we have a big event at Fairfax First Baptist Church. It is a free block party. It's free, and everyone is welcome in the community. We have games. We are going to have Bounce House. We're going to have the video arcade trailer. We're going to have a lot of free food. We're going to have campfire later that evening with songs and s'mores. And so we would love to have you come out and be there with us. This is to celebrate the launching of Camp Impact, or the registration period for Camp Impact. We had a great summer last summer with a lot of kids. We got to do everything from art, music, and dance to reading to all kinds of sports. And the kids had a great time. We also taught, you know, how to know God's plan in your life, how to live out how God wants you to live, how to be prosperous and successful. A lot of the themes that I talk about on this program, we had that whole summer to teach and talk with the kids about. We'd love to have your kids in camp. It's for ages 6 to 12. We also have a junior counselor program for those that are older to get some training and leadership development opportunities. And so the opening of registration for Camp Impact, it's 5 weeks of summer camp, $30 for a child for the whole summer. Registration opens this Friday. The event starts at 5 o'clock. We'll be serving food at 6 o'clock, and we would love to have you. That's at Fairfax First Baptist Church. The number to call if you have any questions is 943-8237. Well, John chapter 20, I told you we're going to look at today. It starts off, it says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. All right, let's talk about some similarities between this account and what we read in Mark and Luke, and also in Matthew some. That is that it's the first day of the week. It's very early. John says, while it was still dark. John doesn't mention a group of women. John only mentions Mary Magdalene. Now, that could be for several reasons. It could be that the other gospel accounts said the women went to the tomb, but they just lumped them all together. It's not really important if you know that Mary Magdalene went earlier than the other women, just that you know that women went to the tomb that morning. Or it's possible that John just doesn't mention that there were other women with Mary Magdalene. Either way, these are not contradictions. Again, these show different details that would be due to different eyewitness accounts that are the sources for the resurrection stories, and that supports the evidence that these are credible, trustworthy accounts. These are the kind of things that even, you know, someone who's studying different eyewitness testimony for a big trial today would pay attention to these differences and would see them not as taking away from the credibility of the testimony, but actually adding great weight to it, because it shows that you have people that aren't working together to make up a story, but rather independent testimony with differing details that are included or omitted, but no contradictions. And that's what we have with the resurrection accounts. So Mary Magdalene came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. Now this, it seems like Mary doesn't know that the angel announces Jesus rose from the dead. You know, she just says, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." This could be explained a couple different ways. It's possible that Mary Magdalene did come earlier than the other women. And when she saw the tomb empty, she took off and went to tell the disciples. And meanwhile, the other women were coming. Or perhaps she was with the other women and she just took off right away before the other women saw the appearance and the angel proclaimed that Jesus was risen from the dead. But at any rate, I think she does leave separately. She goes, she tells Peter, and Peter comes to the tomb. John is the other disciple. This is the Gospel of John. John doesn't use his name throughout the Gospel, but when he talks about the other disciple or the one Jesus loved, he's talking about himself. And so Peter and John run to the tomb. It says that they bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Okay, now, this tells us that there was a great amount of importance placed on these linen cloths. The details of knowing how they're folded, how they're separate, how both pieces were there, tells us that probably the early Christians kept these burial cloths and knew that they were important for giving evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, why would they be important for giving evidence of the resurrection of Jesus? Perhaps because there was an image of Jesus that seemed to be supernaturally imprinted on the cloth. I really do believe that the Shroud of Turin, if you don't know what that is, look it up. I did a whole week on it not too long ago. But the Shroud of Turin really is the burial cloth of Jesus. We have it. It's in Italy, in a church in Italy, in Turin. And it is the burial cloth of Jesus. There's really no way to explain that image, but it may be, and I believe it is, that it is the resurrection of Jesus that imprinted that image on the cloth, and we still have it today, with blood stains on the cloth that show evidence of being blood from someone who died from torture, someone clearly who was crucified. There's so much evidence on that cloth. But at any rate, I don't want to spend too much time on the Shroud of Turin this morning, but I believe that Mary Magdalene tells Peter and John. Peter and John ran to the tomb. Meanwhile, the other women who were at the tomb heard from the angel. They go off to tell the disciples what the angel told them, and Jesus meets them. That's in Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10, where Jesus first appears to someone. That's the first resurrection appearance. But, Peter and John have now gone back. Now Peter and John get to the tomb, and after they go back, we read about Jesus' second resurrection appearance. Mary Magdalene comes back with the disciples, with Peter and John, and Mary stood outside the tomb crying, verse 11 says, after the disciples went back to their homes. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is an amazing story. Jesus appears personally to Mary Magdalene. I think this is just shortly after he appeared to the other women. Why does Mary not recognize him? Perhaps Jesus was kind of far off. Perhaps he was kind of behind some tree branches or something. But it's also possible that Jesus allowed himself to be recognized or not recognized at different times. His resurrection body had some unusual supernatural characteristics that even prior to the resurrection he didn't normally have. But we'll talk more about these resurrection appearances tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.